Good morning. We good? The mic turns okay? Yes, no? I'll keep talking until someone gives me a yes. Yes, good, good. Good morning. Hopefully I don't look too much like Pastor Sam, because clearly he's much better looking than me. So I don't want to have any kind of competition or anything like that, because yeah, the battle's already won in that regard. Thanks so much for the introduction, Clara. Thank you so much for the worship team. Thank you for leading us in song. You know, the earliest Old Testament prophets were musicians, and leading people to the throne of God, not just through prayer but through song, is a sacred affair. So thank you so much for that. And I think it was, I think as I've been to different churches, and I've been different ethnic churches, Korean, Chinese, Jamaican, Canadian, whatever it may be, there is a common strand that I find in Chinese churches, and it's a, I'm not sure how to describe it yet. There's something very sensitive and gentle about the way Chinese Canadians lead worship. And obviously I resonate with it because I'm Chinese Canadian, but there's a unique quality to it. And I'm coming even more alive now, apparently. So we're good? We're okay? Yeah. Thanks, Clara, for that introduction. I am, by title, and I put it usually in bulletins, I put my full title, not because I need the whole title. So it's Reverend Dr. Timothy Li Hui Tang, because I try to distract people from me having to introduce myself as Tim from the Tim Center. And no, it's not named after me, because it's not named after me in any way, shape, or form. You can call me whatever you like, whatever you feel comfortable with. You don't have to call me Dr. Tang, Pastor Tim, Pastor Tang, Tim, Tang. You know, just don't call me Sam, because you already have a Sam kind of thing, right? I spent most of my career as a congregational pastor, which was amazing, and I still am a pastor at that church. But now I'm at large, literally, like that's what they call me. Hopefully they weren't just making fun of my weight, but I'm at large now, and I've been seconded to Tyndale as the director of one of the open learning centers called the Tim Center. The Tim Center, just a brief introduction around that. Is a center where we do training, like we did yesterday, for some of the church leadership. We do research, we work on different projects and different events. We began 23 years ago trying to raise awareness about global missions in the Canadian church, to try to create a safe space to talk about global missions. That's kind of morphed to realize that it's not just talking about God working overseas, but God has brought the nations from everywhere to everywhere. So we began doing training for church planters from the Philippines, from South Korea, who were coming to Canada as a target because we need evangelism here too. And so we started working together with diaspora communities around what does that look like and how can we work together. One of the resources that I might refer to later on is called You Reach Canada. So UReachCanada.ca, I think it is. And in that website, we tried to raise awareness of how our neighborhoods are changing. Our neighborhoods aren't exactly what they were before. And so how do we adapt to it? How do we as church leaders, local church communities, adapt to it? My church, as an example, for a good while, we thought we just do Chinese things, you know, and hand out cha siu fan, and people would be really happy to come to our church. But apparently they weren't, because they were South Asian and they were vegetarian. And so we realized that we need to understand our community a little bit better. And in that, even now, our community where our church is has transitioned to be more Arabic speaking. And so how do we learn to figure that out? Another resource that I'm really proud that I can tell you about is called Pray for the Nation. So you can actually download this. This is like a downloadable app. If you want, you don't have to. I know people don't like downloading things, but sometimes they do. So p4n.ca, I'm like, where is it on my phone? I know it's on my phone. We're trying to raise awareness around unreached people groups globally who are actually local. So least reached communities, that we'll call it. And it's a way to just guide people to pray for different communities in the neighborhood. Now, we've already set up a template. Our original plan, I'm like a salesperson here, I apologize, but it's part of my job. Our original plan was just to raise awareness around least reached communities in the Toronto area. But if you ever go to the website or the mobile app, there's a Vancouver profile group, because it's like coming soon. So we're really hoping that different churches around Canada can pray for some of these least reached communities. A least reached community is basically a community or a people group that do not have an indigenous form of the church in their language or community. So, for example, in Toronto, we've been trying to raise awareness around the Tibetan community. Tibet is one of the hardest places to send missionaries globally. It's hard to provide safety, to convert the Buddhist, the Tibetan people to Christianity. It's been a long, long journey. But wake up, Toronto, is that we have one of the largest, if not the largest, Tibetan community outside of Tibet in the city. And so we're trying to raise awareness. How do we at least pray for the people? Hopefully prayer will lead to mobilization and mobilization, sorry, prayer will lead to awareness and awareness will lead to mobilization. So the goal for us is to really equip the saints to reach out to just across the street. You don't have to quit your job and go on missions. You can literally go across the street. This morning I want to talk about Jonah. And I don't know if I think the PowerPoint works here. Jonah was one of the minor prophets. I don't know how much you guys have studied the minor prophets before. Minor mainly not because they're minor in importance, but I think not enough attention happens to the minor prophets. Now, next week, Pastor Sam is going to preach on the naked Micah. So if you want to come to next week's sermon, I have no idea what Pastor Sam is preaching on. Sorry, this is an Ontario thing that I've learned, that Ontarians make fun of each other a lot because we love each other. It's not because I look down in any way, shape, or form at Pastor Sam, but I'll make fun of him as much as I can because I really like him. Anyways, but today we're going to be preaching on Jonah, and Jonah is not a fish, but he is represented by the fish, right? Now, obviously, Jonah is a story that if you've grown up in the church, you'll know the story. You've heard it before. Maybe you've heard Bible studies on it before. Maybe you've heard a number of sermons on it. Has it been preached at the pulpit recently? I'm looking to Pastor Sam, and I never even asked. Not recently. Good. So I can cover and say whatever I want, almost too, right? And it's a common story that many people know, which is dangerous sometimes because people already know the story. And so what more can be said about it? I mean, if I were to say Jonah, you say, I heard fish and I heard whale. Now, if you say whale, that would be incorrect because we actually don't know if it was a whale. We know that it was a fish, not to point fingers at anybody who said whale, because I can't tell, because y'all had masks on, right? It was this guy over here, right? But we know it was a fish, and that's all we really know from the Bible. So today, what I want to do is to go through the entire book of Jonah. There's only four chapters, and I don't have a meeting till 4 p.m., so Pastor Sam said I can go to at least 3 p.m., so that's okay with you guys, right? Yeah? That was supposed to be a joke. I apologize. I do realize that humor is also a regional thing, so if my jokes go way, if they weren't funny, they're not funny. Four chapters of Jonah. In the first chapter, Jonah gets called by God. God calls him to go to the city of Nineveh to preach the gospel, to preach the good news, to tell them that God is there to save them. And Jonah says, no, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go all the way there. I'm going to run and go the other way to Tarshish. In that chapter, Jonah flees and he's called by God. He feels this conviction. He hears literally the voice of God, but he says, no, I won't go. I want to go the other way. And so he boards this boat, and the boat with a group of other sailors that he's never met before, and he gets in and he thinks, oh, I'm safe now, I can hide from God, we can sail all the way to Tarshish. While on the boat, as some of you remember, a storm comes, and a violent storm, so violent that the entire ship feels like it's going to fall apart and get capsized. The sailors are scared for their life. They start praying to their gods. They start burning things, offering worship, incense. They start, I don't know what else they're doing, tearing off their clothes. They're praying desperately to save their lives, but nothing happens. Jonah wakes up and he says, God, stop. All the stuff you're doing, I know what it is. My God is coming after me. He wants me, not you. Don't worry about yourselves. He says to the sailors, throw me overboard to save yourself. I offer my life for you. Sound familiar? I offer my life for you. So he gets thrown overboard, not because the sailors are trying to kill him, but he commits suicide. He ends his life for them to have life. And lo and behold, he goes overboard. He's not really sure what's going on, but he knows God's coming after him. And the sailors all of a sudden experience on the ship calm. The storm goes away, and all of a sudden, they're all safe. And what happens in that first chapter? The entire boat converts and worships God, our God, Yahweh, Jehovah Jireh. In that first chapter, Jonah hasn't even done anything good yet, but he's denied God, but he's now converted this whole boat of sailors. Wow. End of sermon. We're good. We can go home now. No, there's three other chapters to go. He goes overboard, and what we know of is that he gets swallowed by a giant fish. And in that chapter, what is really unique about that chapter is that all of a sudden we hear the voice of Jonah praying to God. He's praying to God. What's really unique about Jonah, what I love about it, other than this big fish, and I don't want to preach about the naked Micah, is that Jonah, amongst all the minor prophets, is the only minor prophet book that is written in the third person. For those of you English majors, first person, second person, third person, it's written in the third person. It's written about Jonah. So it's a story about Jonah, not just the prophet saying, do this, do that, you guys are evil, repent from your ways. No, it's third person. But all of a sudden, in chapter 2, it's first person. So it changes gears. Anybody who's an English major, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. All of a sudden, in chapter 2, it changes gears, and now we hear the literal voice of Jonah praying desperately to God. What a unique feature that all of a sudden it changes. The actual way it's been written, not in English, but in, you know, ancient Hebrew, it changes the way the phrases are, the voicing, the pattern, the cadence, and it sticks out like a sore thumb if you ever study the book of Jonah. At the end of chapter 2, we know that he's in a fish, and then he's vomited out. Now, I studied the Hebrew, I looked up lexicons, I looked up commentaries, I even asked some Hebrew scholars, and I said, is there a better translation for vomit? And they said, yes, it's vomit. So let me just try to emphasize to you that Jonah was vomited out. And I don't know about the last time that you vomited, maybe those of you who have children, your child might have vomited on the car ride here. I apologize. Pastor Sam said he'll help clean your car afterwards. But there's nothing pleasant about vomit in any way, shape, or form. And I don't know about the last time that you might have vomited, but remember the last time that you vomited and there was like this bile burning taste in your throat and it's like acidic and you're like, you can't get it out of it, just to give you a taste of how Jonah was feeling. So Jonah was in that bile. He's covered in bile. He's literally covered in bile. He's vomited out of the fish and he says, okay, fine. I'll go to the city of Nineveh. Chapter 3, he goes to the city of Nineveh. And at that city, he simply says, I think seven words, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Eight words. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's all he says. That's his sermon. It's not a four-hour sermon. It's not the Roman road, you know, gospel track. It's not, you know, Jesus loves you, this I know. It's eight words. 40 more days. How come I can't count? 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And the entire city, including the cattle, the sheep, the dogs, and the cats, and even the goldfish, Goldie, turn to God. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. How's that for evangelism training? That eight words. 40 more days and Vancouver will be overthrown. And somehow the entire city turns to God. End of story. Do we need to go on? Yes, we do need to go on, apparently. So then Jonah says, woe to me. I can't believe the whole city came to Jesus. Well, they didn't. They came to God. He goes, sits up on a hill, and he's tired, and he starts continuing to complain. He's like, oh, God, it's so hot. Literally, it's hot. I wish there was something giving me shade. And God grows this plant and gives him shade. And all of a sudden, the plant giving him shade, he's like, oh, this is really kind of nice. And then God sends a worm, and the worm comes and eats. A worm, that's all we need. It's a worm. I don't know what kind of worm, pink worm, green worm. The worm eats the plant, and it shrivels up. And then Jonah's complaining again. Oh, it's so hot. And the story ends with God speaking to Jonah, saying, why are you complaining? Why are you upset? You didn't do anything. You said eight words, and an entire city came to know me. You threw yourself overboard, an entire ship came to know me and repented. You've done nothing for this plant or the sun, and all you do is complain. And now you're just sitting there and complaining again. Is it right, he says, God says to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Now, I don't know what kind of sermons you've heard in the past. I have nothing against the sermons you've heard in the past. But there's a number of different ways that I think about this passage. The rabbis in the Old Testament would think about narrative, and especially stories in the Old Testament, as fine diamonds and jewels that they would turn. And every time they turned, the light would shine off the jewel in a different way, right? And as the light shone and shot off it, it would tell a different story because it would reflect a different part of the story. If you'll entertain me, I want to turn the diamond of Jonah a few times. Typically, the message that we often hear in Jonah is this message of comfort versus call, that God was calling Jonah to do something, a call upon his life, but he chose, he chose something else, and he didn't want to do it. And I don't know what's going on in your life right now, but maybe God's calling you to do something uncomfortable and something that you know he's placed on your heart, but you're like, no, God, I don't want to do that. I don't know what it's like for you right now. Maybe it's every Sunday morning. It's difficult to get up in the morning. It's even, it's kind of a little more convenient just to turn on my YouTube, right, and watch it on Tim TV. You guys don't YouTube. Is it straight Zoom? It is YouTube. It's YouTube, right? It's pretty comfortable to see bedside chapel than to come to service, right? And so every morning you might struggle with that. When I think about that comfort versus call, I think about when I felt called to be into ministry. And not everyone gets called to be a pastor. Please, not everyone be a pastor. In fact, try something else. But I remember feeling called to be a pastor, and I said to God, God, I know this is on my heart. I know you want me to do this. But God, I do not like public speaking. I hate public speaking. I don't like standing. I remember in grade one standing in front of my entire school, and I think I turned green reading this speech that my father wrote because I didn't write it clearly, and just completely wanting to just hurl myself over a cliff because I didn't want to stand in front of the whole school. And yet, that struggle is something very real for many of us, of God placing a call on our hearts to change your job, to pursue a certain degree, to pursue a certain relationship, to end a certain relationship. And for many of us, we're struggling with that. If you need to hear that this morning, hear that word, hear that message. Don't listen to anything else I have to say. But I know for some of you, there's more that Jonah is speaking to you. For me, the second time when I turn the crystal, I think to myself the story of From Inside the Fish in chapter 2. Chapter 2 is unique in so many ways. Listen to some of the words in chapter 2. In my distress, from deep in the realm of the dead, I called. You hurled me into the depths. I have been banished, it says. The waters, the engulfing waters, threatened me. The deep surround me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. I'm in a pit. My life is ebbing away. I don't know what you're going through today or what you've gone through in your life, but I'm sure that if you've gone through any darkest hour of your life, those words resonate. Those words, that prayer is probably something that you've prayed at one time, if not now. The pandemic has hit a lot of people hard, and I know mental health has been a huge issue. But beyond even just mental health and careers and pandemic, people for years, if not decades, have struggled with depression, relationship challenges. If you're young, maybe it's the first time you failed a test and you thought the end of the world. After the fifth test that you failed, it's not so bad. Maybe for some of you, you failed out of a course or you failed out of school, and it's very, very difficult. If you're young, maybe even older, the first time a relationship doesn't work out and you break up, you feel like it's the end of the world. And yet for others, I know that thinking about a marriage and separation are heavy, heavy topics. I don't know what you're going through. And I don't want to go and tell a story about something that I can relate to because I don't know what you've gone through, and I don't want to say that I understand. I shared with Pastor Sam and some of the other leaders that happening as I came to Vancouver was a dear friend who passed away just suddenly in Toronto. What's even more challenging about it, he's not married, he doesn't have kids, but he was in transition to sell his belongings. He had quit his job, and he was going to move back to Victoria so he could take care of his mom. And he died. And he was getting ready to move next week to Victoria. If I can ask for a prayer, I'm going to call the mom this afternoon. And I don't know how she's doing, but I can only imagine. I can only imagine how she feels. Her husband had left her decades ago. Her other son doesn't even speak to her. And the one son who decided to give up his life to come and care for her suddenly passed. I'm not going to put words in her mouth because I haven't spoken to her yet, but I can only imagine the waters engulfing her, the seaweed wrapped around her head. And if you're going through something similar to that right now, I don't have a magic formula, a magic prayer for you to say or do. But I want to tell you that there is hope, that there is salvation, that from within the fish, from within the darkest hour of wherever you may be, that God is with you. And if you need to hear that this morning, then I just pray that you continue to pray through chapter 2. For me, when I turned the book of Jonah, I became fascinated as well with Nineveh. And I'm, for especially those who were here yesterday during the training, you know that I'm a kinesthetic, I'm a spatial person. I need to move around, I need to get around. Even the first thing I asked Herman was, how far can I walk between the two trees? And so I'm trying to stay within the two trees. If he didn't say two trees, I'd be like up and down the aisle, right? I guarantee you I would have been. Anyways, so I looked up on a map where Nineveh was. And Nineveh, So Nineveh is over here by B. You can't really see it too deeply. Maybe people at home can see it better. As far as we know, Jonah was called over here at A, just beside this bottom orange thing. And that's where he was called. And God called him 500 kilometers over here to Nineveh. But Jonah, according to the map, decides to go to Tarshish all the way over at sea on the very, very left side of the map. This would be like, and I know you've never been to Tarshish, you've probably never been to Nineveh before, but this would be like God calling you to go to Montreal. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm the other side of the country now. I usually say Montreal because it's five. What's 500 kilometers away from Vancouver? Portland? Is that 500 kilometers? Anyone? Portland? We're going to say Portland, right? Portland. Someone's going to correct me later. You can correct me later, and Sam will answer that. Anyways, so it would be like God calling you 5 hours away to Portland by car, and you saying to God, no, I want to go the other way. I want to go hundreds of thousands of kilometers away. I want to go to, like, South Korea. And maybe some of you are like, yeah, I'd like to go to South Korea. There's something wrong with that. But it would be like you not just saying, I want to fly to South Korea, I want to fly to Australia, because it takes, I'm not even in Toronto anymore. It takes 19 hours from Vancouver to get to Australia, yeah? Right, around there? It's like God calling you to go to Portland, and you saying to God, no, I want to go to Mauritius. I was talking to one of my colleagues recently, and his wife is from Mauritius. Anyone know where Mauritius is? Mauritius is an island off the coast of Africa. It takes, from Toronto, clearly, I didn't Google this from Vancouver because I'm not where I'm normally preaching from. It takes from Toronto 33 hours to fly to Mauritius. 33 hours on a plane wearing a mask. That's completely unnecessary, but that's what it would be like. You saying to God, I know you want me to go 5 hours away, but I want to get on a plane for 33 hours because that's what I'd rather do instead. One of the things, as I talked to you earlier about, was that what we've been doing at the Tim Center is to create resources for what's happening locally around our neighborhoods and what's happening in our cities. One of the major things that we've been trying to raise awareness about, not just around the neighborhood in Kitsilano, where this church is, but even in our country to understand what's been happening. And one thing that's becoming more and more aware to us is international students in Canada. From 2000 to 2009, international student population went up by about 75,000 people, which is a lot of people from 2000 to 2009. From 2009 to 2018, the same amount of time, 9 years later, it went up another 300,000 students. 300,000 students. Now, some of you might even be international students here. I don't know. 300,000 more. There are over 500,000 international students in Canada. And a whole lot of them are in BC. The red band there, sorry, you can't see any of the key. The red band is BC. Sorry, Ontario is still number one. But only because we have too many schools. So, but percentage-wise, you guys have a lot of international students. Like, a lot. A lot. And these are just the Chinese ones. In fact, Chinese international students make up about 28% of all the international students in Canada. The next closest is 25% from India. There's a lot of international students in Canada. And guess what? For some of those international students, and maybe some of you have been there, the last 2 years, not being able to go home, being in a foreign land, still trying to figure out the language, still trying to figure out the customs, still trying to figure out the sense of humor in Canada, still trying to figure out their way around, can't even get their driver's license. It's been the darkest time of their entire lives. It's been the darkest time of their entire lives in these last 2 years. I think about my own father. I won't tell the whole detailed story. But 70 years ago, he took a train. He wasn't even planning to go to university. His best friend was chasing after a girl. The girl was going to the University of Montreal for nursing. And his friend said, hey, you want to go to university? And my dad said, oh, okay, sure. And his friend literally filled out the application, put it in front of him, and he signed it. And lo and behold, he got on a ship. The ship took him across to Vancouver. He got on a train. The train took him across Canada. And he found himself in Montreal. And he was like, nobody told me that snow goes here. And he studied English in Hong Kong. And he said, nobody told me that they speak French. And he was completely lost. And his best friends became the handful of Chinese other international students that were there. And to this day, they are his best friends. His Montreal group are his best friends that I can say nothing wrong about. They're a little odd, but they're his best friends for life, literally. Why? Because probably his darkest hour was finding himself in a land that officially didn't want him. We can talk about that another day. In the 50s, Canada officially did not want him. But through the love of a community, through the love of a church, he came to know God. He came and got his citizenship and found a home here in Canada. I don't know what this morning God has been speaking to you. Maybe it's a message just around comfort or call. Maybe it's simply thinking about what you're going through right now in terms of challenges or relationships from inside that fish. But maybe God's also calling you to reach out to those who are not even around the world, but just in our own neighborhood and cities, who they themselves are inside a fish, who they themselves have difficulty finding hope, who they themselves have no idea where salvation will come from. And perhaps that comfort versus call message on your heart is to step out of your comfort zone, to love those in our midst. Another thing that's been on my heart recently is to think and pray about the Ukrainian conflict overseas. I'm not going to be political. I'm not going to say who's right, who's wrong. But within the first three days, there was over 150,000 refugees. We're now talking in the millions of refugees who do not have a home anymore. Canada, if I can be proud of Canada for a moment, has a history of sponsoring refugees. I don't know if you've been involved in that in the past or not, but Canada has one of the largest Ukrainian populations in the entire world outside of Ukraine. And what an opportunity it could be for us to give shelter, to give love, which takes time and planning and energy and finances. For those of you who are doing your taxes, first come and help me do my taxes. But it will take you financial planning to figure out how to support and give shelter and comfort for those who are inside a fish and have no idea where salvation will come. Where is God speaking to you today? May you respond from even within inside the fish or on a boat to Tarshish. Let me pray for you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we continue to worship, God, I don't know where people are at this morning, but God, I pray for your Spirit to continue to lead and direct, not just individuals, but this church community. May their eyes be opened and compelled to step out of their comfort zones, to love those who need love. For people here themselves who are going through their own challenges, may they too feel your presence in their lives, to know that you are right there beside them in their darkest hour. God, may you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.